With me now is gerontologist Roy Walford, who is currently researching the aging process and how to extend life expectancy. In his new book, Maximum Lifespan, he describes the theory that he's currently developing of extending lifespan by eating less, or what he calls undernutrition. Walford has been on the faculty of the UCA Medical School since 1954. He's been a delegate to the White House Conference on Aging and has received several awards, including in 1980 the American Aging Association's Research Award and the Clemmer Award of the Gerontological Society. And in 1982, he received the Henderson Award of the American Geriatric Society and the Senator Alan Cranston Award given by the Fund for Biomedical Research. His new book, Maximum Lifespan, has just been published by Norton. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Do you think our lifespan now, on the average, is different than what it was at the turn of the century or last century?
One has to distinguish between the two kinds of lifespan. One is average lifespan, or life expectancy, and the other is maximum lifespan. Average lifespan in ancient Rome, for example, was about 22 years. Half the population had died by then. That's the average, or 50% survival. By 1900, it was about 50 years of age. Half the population lived till then. And the midpoint by today is about 73 years old. That's average lifespan. So that's increased through the centuries, secondary to better personal hygiene, better public health facilities, improved water supply and so forth, and less disease. But it has nothing to do, this improvement, while nice, has nothing to do with the basic aging process. Now, the other lifespan that one can talk about is maximum lifespan, and that is characteristic of each animal species. For humans, it's about 110 years. A few people lived that old in ancient Rome, and a few people still do today. But nobody, either then or now, ever has lived substantially longer than 110. So that's kind of the biologically predetermined lifespan for the species set by genetic mechanisms. And that hasn't been budged at all by anything that science and so forth has been able to do. And that's what should be or will be budged now, can be now, and will be in the not-too-distant future by gathering advances in biology.
If our biomedical time clock slates us for a maximum of 110 years, why would you want to extend that?
Why would we want to extend that? Well, to create a society in which maximum lifespan is longer. If people are living to be 120, 140, 150, for example, by retarding the aging process, one is not adding old years to old years, but stretching out the period of youth and middle age. So I'm thinking about living longer and extending the lifespan of people and society beyond this 110-year fixed point. You must think of it in that light, an extension of youth and middle age, not just staying older and older and older longer, as in, say, the movie Zardoz or other horrors like that.
I think throughout the centuries there's been people who've been trying to extend the lifespan either of themselves as an individual or of the society around them. And many of them have been pretty kooky. Like going to Florida to drink from the fountain of youth, mm-hmm. that didn't work. Do people think you're unusual in the research that you're doing, and especially in the theory that you're creating, which we'll get to in a moment?
Well, the biologists know. I'm dealing with very sound biology. There's no disagreement among other biologists that a program, say, of undernutrition without malnutrition, which we might be talking about, will extend the maximum lifespan. My biology is regarded as very sound. Gerontology is filled, history has been filled with kooky people, but this is much less so today. Gerontology has become a respectable branch of biology.
Would you explain your theory of undernutrition?
Well, it's not really a theory. It's been established by a number of workers, including myself and colleagues, but beginning before World War II, it was shown first by Clyde McKay at Cornell University that if you kept animals such as rats on a diet in which calories were severely restricted, but in which the food value was increased, so that you get a state of undernutrition, that is, not very many calories, without malnutrition, that is, supplemented good diet, then you can extend the maximum lifespan of the animals by 20 to 100%. This translates into human terms to lifespans of about 120 to 180 or 90 years, depending on when you begin the nutritional regime. If you begin halfway through life, then you only get half the effect as if you begin at a very young age.
So you've started changing your diet.
Well, I've started changing my diet for this reason. Earlier workers were only able to demonstrate this lifespan prolonging effect if they begin around the time of weaning or in young animals. When they began in midlife, it didn't seem to work, and we found that the reason others had had trouble being successful with midlife starting point was that they put the animals too suddenly on a restricted diet. If you do it slowly over a long period, gradually reduce the calories and increase the nutrient value, then you can get an effect starting with adulthood. If you start halfway through life, then you get half the effect as if at a younger age. So since I demonstrated that, and that's been confirmed by others, I've been on that kind of regime for 2 or 3 years.
How do you expect this works?
It works probably by a number of mechanisms. One of the causes of aging has to do with disturbances in the immune system in the body, the system that wards off bacterial invaders and which detects aberrant cells like cancer cells in the body and eliminates them, and also rejects foreign grafts. Like if you get a kidney graft, your body recognizes it as foreign and rejects it. By the same token, the body should not reject your own kidney or your own heart. But with age, the ability to tell between your own and foreign, that is self and non-self, becomes awry. And one of the phenomena of aging is an anti-self rejection process by an abnormal immune system. This causes a lot of the features of aging. Dietary restriction delays this anti-self-destruct process and pretty well wipes it out. So that's one mechanism whereby undernutrition delays the aging process.
Is there another?
Well, there are others that one can postulate. One of the other things that contribute to aging have to do with free radicals arising in the body. Free radicals, that's a term applying to a class of chemicals that arise during normal metabolism, which are kind of super activated oxygen derivatives and are very damaging to tissues, latch on to cells, to the DNA and the genetic material and cell membranes and so forth, are very damaging. The body also makes free radical neutralizers called also antioxidants, which tend to neutralize these free radicals as they're generated. But it doesn't keep up with the developing damage. The dietary restriction probably decreases the generation of free radicals. So that would be another mechanism whereby it influences aging.
So what kind of diet have you placed yourself on?
One characterized, as I say, by undernutrition without malnutrition, but in effect that means lowering the caloric intake, but eating a kind of a super nutritive diet. Lowering the caloric intake means cutting out all foods that are merely empty calories, such as sugar, low-fat diet, since fats tend to be empty calories, and the usual American diet is about 45% fat, so it's say a 10 to 15 or 20% fat diet. But actually the way one arrives at it, as I've shown in the book Maximum Lifespan, is to take a number of foods, say 100 as I've illustrated, and plot all of the nutrients in them, the 32 essential nutrients that make up all the things that one needs, and then feed that into a computer and ask it to come up with combinations of food substances on like a daily basis that have minimum number of calories but still give you all and more than all the recommended daily allowances of all 32 essential nutrients. So that's kind of the basis of the whole thing.
A lot of people are into the mindset of enjoying what they do today and not worrying about the future. I don't mean necessarily living recklessly, but thinking that why should you always delay your enjoyment? You might as well eat in a fairly normal way today. How do you feel about that?
I think that's fine. That's a personal choice, but it depends on what you put your enjoyment in. If you have good nutrition like this or something equivalent to it, it will, in relation to age, give you better sight, better hearing, and improved sense of physical well-being, sharper mind, clearer mentality, and a greater sexuality into a more advanced age. You do have to cut out a little bit on the angel food cake and candy and all of that. So you have to make that choice. And those who don't want to cut it out, I say let them eat cake.
What's the threshold for you between just eating a healthy diet where you've cut out a lot of unnecessary sweets and eating what you call a diet of undernutrition?
Well, you have to reduce your weight gradually over a 4 to 5 or 6 year period until you're 10, 15, or 20% lower than the insurance statistics, than what your average weight is said should be. So it's something in that direction.
Do you ever worry about getting picked up on by people who are potentially anorexic and tend to misunderstand or go to extremes, the information they have about weight?
Well, that's certainly possible. That's why I stress over and over again that it's undernutrition without malnutrition, anorexic or malnourished. If you just eat less and less of an ordinary American diet, then you're pretty soon malnourished. And I certainly don't recommend that. You really have to change what you're eating and become conscious of the nutritive value of foods and not just eat less and less.
We're living in a time when there seems to be a lot more environmentally caused cancer, and some people think we're on the brink of nuclear holocaust. One can almost say it's an absurd time to be thinking of, you know, doubling your lifespan. A lot of people feel they'll be lucky if they live to age 80.
Lucky if they live to age 80, well, but if they do live to age 80, then probably some of these problems may be solved. The other answer to that, and I think it's a pretty good one in some ways, is that if psychologists tell us that if people reach the age of, say, 65 or 70, they often go through what is termed a life review process, in which they review what they've done throughout their life and get into thinking what the value of it has been. The life review process leads to a greater perception of values. And in general, old people, if they are not too troubled by being in ill health or being too poor, problems like that, old people have a better value orientation than young people. In a long-living society, especially one in which there are multiple careers, which will be happening in such a society, this value reorientation will probably take place, say, at the end of each career. I would think that in a long-living society, there will be an increased sense of values, which is certainly one of the things we need to avoid the nuclear holocaust and the ecological problems and those other items that you touched upon.
Why do you want to live longer?
Well, I've always wanted to live longer. I started thinking about gerontology in high school because it seemed there were so many interesting things to do in life that one of the first things to do is to arrange to live longer. I just got back a few months ago, for example, from a hitchhiking trip across Central Africa. So there are a lot of things to do. I'm interested in other careers. I've had a nice career as a scientist. At some time, I would like to go into another career, artificial intelligence or a writing career, like that.
What else are you doing to try to keep yourself fit and living longer?
Well, as far as living, I exercise a fair amount. I run about 10 or 12 miles a week, and swimming and some bodybuilding, those things.
Okay, I want to thank you for talking with us. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure, Terry.
I've been speaking with gerontologist Roy Walford, who has written a new book, which is called Maximum Lifespan, and it's just been published by the Norton Press. He's received many awards for his research into the aging process.